We're so glad you've chosen to spend this time with us today on Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Ryan Dobson, here along with my co-host, Lou Ann Crane.
Hey, Ryan. Last time, as you recall, we heard the first half of a message from the late Dr. Adrian Rogers, a man certainly who was not afraid to speak the truth of the scripture.
Well, what a great preacher he was. Dr. Rogers was senior pastor at Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee for 33 years, and he was one of my very closest friends. He went on to be with the Lord in 2005, and in fact, I spoke at his funeral at Bellevue Baptist Church. I still miss him today. And yesterday, we began listening to a message that Dr. Rogers gave some years ago, and I heard it recently on his popular television program, even though he's gone on to be with the Lord. The title of this message is The High Cost of Low Living. It was rich with scriptural truths, but what intrigued me about it and what led me to want to share it with our listeners was that it was on a topic that is often not preached in some pulpits today. It was on a subject of sin. And last time we heard Dr. Rogers' exposition on the story of David's sin with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband Uriah. And Dr. Rogers brought two things to light through that biblical story: the tragic cause of sin and the tremendous cost of sin. We only heard the first half. We're going to hear the rest of it today.
Well, it's true, Dad. It seems like we're always shocked when we hear about someone of great faith falling into sin. But like Dr. Rogers said, if David, a man after God's own heart, can fall, then every Christian is vulnerable.
And if anyone missed the first half of that sermon, we would really encourage you to listen in online at familytalk.org, even request a complimentary CD, which will contain yesterday's portion as well as what we're about to hear today. Very briefly, Dr. Rogers was married to Joyce for 54 years. He's written a number of books, was even inducted into the National Religious Broadcasters Hall of Fame. Doctor, it's easy to see why he earned that distinction. We will pick up this message now as Dr. Rogers looks again at his text taken from the book of 2 Samuel, addressing the conviction that fell on David. Here now on this Family Talk broadcast, Dr. Adrian Rogers.
In chapter 11, look in verse 27, if you will. The last words in this chapter, the last part of the verse, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Now, David knew it displeased him. I want you to put a bookmark there and turn to Psalm 38. Here in Psalm 38, you're going to see the tremendous cost of David's sin. I said at the beginning, can a child of God sin? Yes. Can a child of God sin and not suffer? Absolutely not. Now remember that the Bible says that the thing displeased the Lord. Now see how David speaks about this displeasure. Look in verses 1 and 2. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. Now, what happens when a child of God sins? We'll go back up to verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath. The very first things are words of rebuke. God, the Holy Spirit, will speak to you. God will rebuke you when you sin. God will put his finger on the sore spot and say, that was wrong. Now listen, if you're living in sin, high, wide, and handsome, it may be the sin of adultery, it may be some other kind of sin, and God does not rebuke you, there is no conviction. I wouldn't give half a hallelujah for your hope of heaven. Listen to me. If you're a child of God, God will rebuke you. There were words of rebuke, and then secondly, there were arrows of conviction. Look, if you will, in verse 2. For thine arrows stick fast in me. God pierced his heart. God said, David, What you've done is wrong. It is horribly wrong. And then notice also he says, "In thy hand presseth me sore." Words of rebuke, arrows of conviction, the hand of pressure. Sometimes people have the idea, oh, well, if we sin, God just tosses us away. You've got it 180 degrees wrong. God doesn't toss you away if you're a child of His. When you sin, God puts His hand on you and squeezes. He says, your hand was heavy upon me. In Psalm 51, he spoke of his bones being broken. He's a poet. He's speaking poetically. He's saying, God, you're crushing me. God, you're squeezing life out of me. Do you know that kind of pressure? If you're living in sin and know that kind of pressure, you better thank God for it. If God has words of rebuke, if God has arrows of conviction, if God has a hand of pressure on you, say, thank God He loves me too much to let me go on this way. He's under conviction. The Bible says if we be without chastisement, then we're illegitimate. We've never been saved. You see, listen, learn this. Learn this. The most miserable man in the world is not an unsaved man. The most miserable man in the world is a child of God out of fellowship with God. Is that not right? Far more miserable than an unsaved man. Other men in the kingdom could have done these kind of things and never would have felt like David felt. When God saves you, God doesn't fix you up where you can't sin anymore. But, mister, He fixes you up where you can't sin and enjoy it anymore. There are words of wrath. There are arrows of conviction. There is the hand of pressure. Let me show you what David's sin did. Look in verse 3. His sin wearied him. Notice he says, there's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones. Night and day, day and night, night and day and night. The thing David has done is in his heart and in his mind. He can't sleep. Clear conscience is better than any sleeping pill. Unresolved guilt will sap the strength out of your life, strength that ought to be given to productive purposes. His sin wearied him. Notice in verse 4, his sin weighted him. He says, for mine iniquities have gone over my head as a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me. I prayed with a young man down in Mexico City. I had rented his car to get me around, and we stopped, and I had the joy of leading the young Mexican to Christ. And after we prayed in the front of that little Volkswagen, he said to me, mister, I'll never forget it. He said, mister, let me tell you how I feel. He said, I feel like I've been carrying a bag of stones all my life and I just set them down. Sin is a weight. His sin wearied him. His sin weighted him. His sin wounded him. Look in verse 5. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I think he's talking about the corruption on the inside. He's talking about what happened when that arrow went into him. And that arrow is sticking into him, the arrow of conviction. He's speaking poetically here. And he says, now my wounds stink. Sorrow is a clean wound. It will heal. Guilt is a dirty wound. It only festers until it's cleansed. But not only did his sin weary him and weight him and wound him, it worried him. Look in verse 9. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. What a miserable man he is. Worried about his sin. If they had telephones in that day, every time the telephone rang, David would jump. Every time you see people talking, wonder, are they talking? Do they know? Is the word out? No peace. Trust me, no torture the poet's name can match that fierce, unutterable pain he feels. Who? Day and night, devoid of rest, carries his own accuser within his breast. His sin wasted him. Look, if you will, in verse 7. My loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there's no soundness in my flesh. I believe that David had venereal disease. That's what he's talking about now. He's talking now about a loathsome disease. He's not talking poetically now. He had a few moments of pleasure. Sin promises much, but it pays little. His sin now wasted him. Now, don't be worried so much about safe sex. Put your attention on sacred sex. That's always safe. God's plan for you is one man for one woman. Premarital chastity, postmarital fidelity. His sin wasted him. What a wasted life this was. And his sin weakened him. Look, if you will, in verse 8. I am feeble. He used to be a mighty warrior. Now he's broken in body and broken in spirit. Sin promises much, but it pays so little. Look, if you will, in verse 11, my lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. There's David. You know what the word sore means here in this verse? David is speaking poetically. The word is the word for leprosy. David had become a moral leper. He's unclean. His friends, his acquaintances, his kinfolk, they're backing away from him. Oh, the tragedy that David's sin brought to his family. I had rather die by torture than to dishonor my God and dishonor my family. Oh, the high cost of low living, a few moments of pleasure, the tragic cause, the tremendous cost. Now I want you to see with me, if you will, the timely challenge to David's sin. Do you think God's just going to let this go on and on? Oh, no. Go back, if you will, to chapter 11, 2 Samuel chapter 11. You're going to find out that God sent somebody to speak to David about his sin. There is a confrontation. Look, if you will, in chapter 12 now and verse 9. Nathan the prophet says, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do this evil in his sight? Now let me tell you how God deals. Tell you how God deals with a man when he's in this kind of a sin. The timely challenge. First of all, there is conviction. Those words of rebuke. That hour of conviction. That hand of pressure. Now what should you do if there's sin in your life? It may be just the sin of coldness. It may be a very small sin, not a big sin. But you deal with it immediately. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 31 and 32, if we would judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. God is not trying to get even with you. God just wants you to be corrected. He goes on to say in verse 32, but when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. When parents punish children, they're not trying to get even with those children. They're trying to correct them. Well, suppose the conviction doesn't work. Second step, chastisement. God will carry you to the woodshed. Hebrews 12, verse 6, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. And don't think that God won't chastise you. And the word scourge is a word for severe whipping. Let me tell you something. God is more concerned about your holiness than he is your health. God is more concerned about your righteousness than you're driving a Cadillac or living in a big house or having business success. All right, there's conviction. After conviction, there's chastisement. After chastisement, there's confrontation. God will bring you to a confrontation. I mean, God will not let you go on. God sent Nathan the prophet to confront David. And God said, now, David, you better get right. You will not go on like this. Now, I don't know how the confrontation will come to you. Maybe the confrontation will come to you in a book that you read. Maybe the Holy Spirit of God will just speak to your heart. Maybe it'll be your wife. Maybe it'll be your husband. Maybe it'll be your pastor. Maybe it'll be a friend. Maybe it'll be some circumstance. But you'll know that you're right on the threshold of being judged. It may be this sermon. I don't know why God wanted me to preach this sermon today, but I felt laid on my heart that I needed to preach this sermon today. And it seemed as though God was saying to me, there's somebody, Adrian, who needs to hear what you're saying. And I believe that there may be a divine appointment here, and this is the confrontation, the challenge. Now, suppose the challenge is not taken. Suppose when God says, all right, I have tried conviction, I have tried chastisement, now comes a challenge, now comes a confrontation, I am drawing a line in the sand. Now suppose you don't listen to this. Then the last thing is consummation. Look, if you will, in chapter 12, verse 13. Here's what the prophet said to David. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Thank God he came to that place. David was a great sinner, but he finally became a great repenter. I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Do you know what was happening? God was getting ready to kill David. Let me say it again. God was getting ready to kill David. You say, God doesn't do that. You better reread your Bible. You better read 1 John chapter 5 where the Bible says there's a sin unto death. Do you know how Moses died? Do you think Moses died of poor health? Moses went up on Mount Nebo and the Bible says of him, his eye was not dim, nor was his strength abated. He walked to his own funeral because of his sin against God. There's a sin unto death. You remember that man named Balaam who was out of the will of God riding that donkey that day, and the donkey went out in the field and he beat the donkey, and then the donkey going through a narrow place crushed Balaam's leg against the wall. And then Balaam got off the donkey and began to beat the donkey. And the angel of the Lord said, why are you beating that animal? He said, you're going against me. And Balaam saw the angel of the Lord with a drawn sword. The donkey had already seen the angel. And the angel said to Balaam, had you gone any further, I surely would have slain you. We're not talking about the unsaved now. We're talking about a child of God. Nathan says to David, David, thank God that you confessed your sin. You're not going to die. I had a man in a former church. That man, the man I led to Christ, I loved him like a brother, a leader in the church. The man got a silly little sin in his heart. It dealt primarily with pride. I told him, Jack, you're too good a man to let that be in your heart and in your life. Get that right. He said, I'm not going to do it. I said, no, wait a minute. Just say you need help or something. Just don't say I'm not going to do it. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. I said, Jack, the Bible says, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin. He said, I don't care what the Bible says. I said, no, wait a minute. I said, Jack, when you do that, you challenge God. That's arrogance. That's bold, blatant sin against God. God will judge you. You know what he said to me? He said, he can do with me what he wants. I'm not going to change. I felt a cold chill come over me. I said, Jack, take it back. Take it back now. Don't say that. He said, I've said it. I said, Jack, take it back. He said, I'll not do it. I couldn't believe my ears. I said, Jack, I'm afraid for you. I went and told Jesse. I said, Jesse, another friend, I said, Jesse, I'm putting you on notice. I want you to bear witness. I want you to watch. I want you to see what's about to happen to Jack. I was out of town when I got the phone call. Pastor, did you hear about Jack?
No.
Jack fell dead. Just a matter of days, Jack died. He fell dead. No reason to expect him to fall dead. I said, I'm not surprised. I'm saddened. Folks, let me tell you something. If you had a little child, you take that child to a birthday party. And that child is smearing the cake, pulling the hair of the little girls, ripping into the presents. You're his mama. First thing you do is correct him, speak to him. He doesn't listen. Then you spank him. He just gets worse. What do? Say, come on, we're going home. We're going home. If a child of God gets into sin, does that mean he won't go to heaven? It may mean he'll get there a lot quicker. God is serious about your life. He wants you to live a righteous and a holy life. Well, you say, Adrian, boy, I hope they heard it. I hope they heard it. No, God's speaking to you. You say, not me. I don't commit adultery. I don't murder people. That wasn't David's problem. David's problem was the coldness of his heart. That's where it began. And now we're dealing with you. Oh, would to God. Would to God that David were at the point that you're at right now when his heart began to get cold. The mighty warrior, the one who loved God with all of his heart. Now he puts off the armor. Now he is idle. Now he is lazy. Now he is no longer looking to God. And God is calling some of you today to renew your vows to Jesus and say, God, I haven't committed adultery. I haven't killed anybody. But I don't love you like I used to. I've been lazy. I've been idle. I've had unguarded strength. It may be a double weakness. Father, I just pray that you will seal the message to our hearts today. Help us, Lord, to learn the things we need to learn. And Lord, you know who needs this message. Not primarily a lot of people who have committed horrible sin, but a church full of people whose hearts may be getting cold. Lord, help us not to commit the sin of idleness, of carelessness, laziness, impulsiveness, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder how many today would say, Pastor Rogers, I'm not saved, but I need to be. I ought to be. I want to be. I need God in my life. I don't have the power, the strength to live as I ought to live. And I know if I die in my sins, I'll be eternally separated from God in hell. But I need to be saved, and I want to be saved. If you want to be saved, God will save you today. If you'll pray a prayer like this, dear God, just pray it from your heart. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I need to be saved. Come into my heart. Forgive my sin. Save me, Jesus. Save me today. Save me now. And help me never to be ashamed of you. Help me to make it public. Amen.
A very important close to this Family Talk program today with our guest, the late Dr. Adrian Rogers. We're so thankful to his ministry, Love Worth Finding, for helping us bring this message to listeners, Ryan.
And Dad and Luann, I pray that hundreds of people have prayed that prayer along with Dr. Rogers.
Wouldn't that be incredible, Ryan, that when we get to heaven, there would be hundreds of people who will be there because they heard and responded to this message. Mm-hmm. I appreciated so much about what Dr. Rogers said. And I talked about this, in fact, in my November letter about the components of traditional biblical understandings that are slipping away. Many young people have never heard them, having to do with sin and repentance and atonement and holiness and reconciliation with God. Mm-hmm. You know, those concepts are lost. They're discredited or ignored, especially in the younger generation. But without an understanding of these biblical concepts, Jesus' death on the cross is no more significant than that of any other martyr. Mm-hmm. You know, the Savior died to provide a remedy for sin, the sin that dwells within. And John said of Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." 1 John 1:29. The failure to teach these truths is deeply disturbing to me because it leaves us human beings in an unregenerate condition. I hope the message we heard yesterday and today will address that theological understanding and that many will respond to mm-hmm. it.
And if you would like to talk with somebody, our phone lines are always open. You can call us anytime. Our number is 877-732-6825, or you can email us or contact us through Facebook or at our website, familytalk.org.
We very much want to help you grow in your relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. At familytalk.org, you'll find lots of resources written by this wonderful man of God, Dr. Adrian Rogers, along with our latest CD broadcast collection called Living with Purpose. That set is full of inspiration to help you with your walk with the Lord.
Thanks to all of you who have spent time with us today, and we hope to see you right here again tomorrow on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.